Our scripture reading this morning comes from the letter of Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. If you want, there are pew Bibles scattered in the midst if you would like to look that up. But may the words of God fall afresh on your ears this day. I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Last week we talked a little bit about who God is in this world that is extremely chaotic. We live in a chaotic world, and that's why it's so very important to remember who we are and who God created us to be and who God is calling us out to be. Many of us in this room have been baptized. Some of us, in good old-fashioned Methodist tradition, were baptized as infants, and we may not recall our baptism. Some of us were baptized later in life, and we remember that baptism. Some of us may have even gone to the River Jordan to be baptized and have that memory. Some of us may be wondering why baptism is important. What does it mean for us? What's going on with it? In baptism, it is a unique way of expressing who we are in God. In the United Methodist tradition, we baptize anyone of any age, just as long as they haven't been baptized before. The reason is it's our understanding that God is pursuing you before you ever know about God. You see, it's not your knowledge that brings God. God brings God. It's not even correct knowledge that brings God. We sometimes get confused about how important knowledge is. God wants you to think correctly and have good reason, but it's not what brings God. God brings God. So whether we are baptizing a newborn baby who does not yet have a vocabulary and does not yet know who God is, or it is a confirmand, a child of 6th, 7th, 8th grade coming forward, having a little bit of a new understanding of who God is and their relationship with God, or whether it's an adult professing their faith for the very first time. God is present in each one of those situations, present with every single one of those individuals. That's why we baptize at any age. The only reason we baptize once is because our understanding of baptism, it's God in the midst of that baptism. To baptize again, the reason sometimes people say, I don't remember my baptism, I'd like to be baptized again. And we're like, no, sorry. God's already at work in that one baptism. One baptism, the one God, the one Holy Spirit is at work in you in that one baptism. I've told you this before, and some of you may be hearing this anew, but I find it absolutely wonderful that we use the element of water for baptism. This one element is so precious to us. I want you to think about how precious this element is. When was the last time you went 24 hours without water? No bottled water, no water coming out of your tap, it wasn't raining, you didn't use it for cooking, you didn't use it to wash your hands, you didn't use it to water your lawn, you didn't use it to give your pet a drink. There was no water for a whole 24-hour period. Do you remember? Was there ever that day? Ever? Anybody? No? There's never, ever been a day that you have ever not been surrounded by God's grace. Not one single day of your life was God's grace missing from your life. Isn't it absolutely amazing that God would choose an element that we actually need for survival? We can't live without water. In fact, most of our body is made of water. We can't escape it. Just like you can't escape God's grace. And in order to have abundant life here now today, you need grace. You need God's abundant love. So we come to the font, we come to the water of baptism. It's an outward sign of an inward grace that already exists in you. Already existing in you. Because there again, God has never left you or forsaken you from the time you're knit in the womb. Baptism, it's an outward sign of an inward grace that's already happening. And so we bring our children to the font. We bring new believers to the font. We bring confirmands to the font. Anyone who has not yet experienced baptism, why? Because it is a mark of our Christian life. It marks you who you are and who you belong to, your identity. All right, so who you are in God. You are a child of God. You are an heir to the throne. You are ushered into the body of Christ. And there's quite a few of us in here. I mean, we're just not even a drop in the bucket when we think about Christians all over the world. There's so many of us, so many. Each one unique and diverse in the family and the household of God. Each one of us brings something to the table, some kind of gift, some kind of talent, some kind of passion unique to who you are. It's interesting that we don't get to pick these. We don't get to pick our unique gift. We don't really get to pick our talent. We don't get to pick our passion. God weaves that into us. God hand chose it for you. See, that's how precious you are. God handpicked what gifts you were going to get. Now, did you ever think, step and wonder, and go, golly, I wish I had that gift. I wish I had that talent. God, that person, they are so lucky to have that. That's awesome. I wish I had that. But the truth of the matter is, your talent, your gift, your passion is just as precious, as just as important, because God chose it for you. I want you to understand how personal your identity in God is. It's extremely personal. That God not only created you, but knows you. And knows you so well that God says, I have a plan for you. Within this diverse body of believers that are called together by God to create something extremely unique and powerful when we all get together. You see, even though our relationship with God is very personal, it's very one-on-one, it's also very communal. It's never private. Your relationship with God, I know that you would love for it to be private. We would all love for it to be private. That we wouldn't have to express anything to anybody about our personal feelings, about our own weaknesses, about what brought us to God or what brings us closer to God. But you see, it's not private. It's extremely communal. We serve a communal God. A God that is always wholly present in community. What Christians express is the Holy Trinity, the three in one. Community is that precious to God, that God expresses God's self communally. When we read this scripture, it talks about coming together in humility, coming together in grace, coming together, marked by the one Spirit, the one God, the one baptism, all of us extremely different, but touched by God. Pursued by God, loved by God, precious to God. It's extremely important that you understand your identity. It is extremely important that you understand your identity in God. We live in a very chaotic world. We talked a little bit about it last week, that unpredictable, painful things happen in this world. Not only are they painful, they are ugly, and they can be evil. And sometimes we walk away from these experiences at a loss, going, what is going on? And sometimes if we are not already strong in our identity, we're left wavering. Where's God in this moment? It's so easy to lose our identity in moments like that. Not only is it important, our identity, to remember it, to keep us intact in times of tribulation, but it's also important to remember who we are in community as we come together as the body of Christ. We're coming together this week to celebrate Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is very communal. It's about unity. It's about coming together, feasting together, being thankful together, joyful together. There's just something about thankfulness and coming all together. And here in Texas City, I'm learning we come together not just as families, but as a community as well. And it's extremely important that we remember in our own identity we find Christ. Because it's not just about our own gifts and graces at this point. It's who we are in Jesus Christ. Our goal is to find the path that Jesus is lighting up for us, as narrow as it may be, and walk that path so that we can become more like Christ. Not more like anybody else, Not more like me, maybe not more like mom and dad, not like our heroes, but more like Christ each and every day. And when we think about Christ's life, Christ found himself in some peculiar places. Some very peculiar places, some places that people were very judgmental. The religious folk didn't like it. Jesus is having dinner with tax collectors and sinners. Did you see that prostitute wash Jesus' feet with her hair? Did you see Jesus talking alone with that woman at the well? Do you know where she's been? Jesus was always in the midst of a scandal. Jesus was always in the midst of people who were hurting, people who had been outcast, people who didn't have very many friends, people who didn't have much money, or they had too much money, people that were very unhappy about the way their life went, about the choices they made, about what had become of their life. And people knew and talked about what became of their life. For a person who was very, very passionate about community like Jesus was, he was so passionate about it, he was constantly seeking out the least, the lost, those that were on the fringes of community, those that the community were always whispering about. That's where Jesus found himself. But Jesus had a heart to serve. Jesus had a heart to heal. Jesus had a heart to restore, to bring people back into the community. I think many of us are familiar with the story of the lost sheep, that the shepherd would go out and leave the whole flock just to go find that one that was lost, to bring it back into the fold. Community is extremely important to our identity as Christ followers. And it's not just about the people in here that we're comfortable with, that we sit in the pews with. Jesus is very concerned about the people outside of our walls who are hurting for a variety of ways. As we find our identity in the one Spirit, in the one God, in the one baptism, we're being called out. You heard Paul say over and over and over again, you are being called. Live out your call. Be true to the calling that God gives to you. And I've heard people say, oh, I'm not worthy. I know what that feels like. I remember my call into ministry very, very well. Some of you may not believe this, but I grew up very, very shy. I didn't like talking in groups. I didn't like being in groups. I loved the summer when I could just be with my family and my closest friends. And when I mean close, one or two of them that I'd talk on the phone with, they'd come to my house. And it got harder as I got older in high school and college. The first day of school, I hated the first day of school. And sometimes I'd be late to the first day of school because I'd be throwing up because my nerves were so bad. And when I started feeling this call into ministry, I fought it. No, you've got the wrong person. I don't have the gifts and graces to do this. I don't have the gifts and graces to speak to people. Have you seen me? Have you heard me? Do you even know me? nope, that couldn't be me. And I remember going through the candidacy process, and my mentor, Mike Proctor, he asked, Stephanie, what call story do you most relate to? And I said, Moses. Moses at the burning bush saying, I can't do this. I stutter. I can't do this. I'm just a shepherd. I have this flock out here in the wilderness. I'm perfectly fine by myself. And with every word that Moses said, every single excuse, God says, I've prepared for you. Your brother is already on the way. I've prepared for you. I've already given you the words. I've prepared for you. You just call on my name and miracles will happen. I have prepared for you. And you hear what God is saying to the prophet Jeremiah, I have plans for you. I have prepared for you. That's why I'm calling you out. You may not see these plans. You may not see this preparation. But it's already happening. It's already been set into motion. There is no excuse. I'm too young. I'm too old. Somebody else can do that. Yeah, you're right. Somebody else could. But God chose you. God chose me. God gave these special gifts and graces to every single one of you. Every single one of you is unique and diverse. And that is what makes you ever so more precious to the body of Christ, because one person cannot do it all. Two people can't do it all. Three people can't do it all. If all of you went out and made sweet potatoes for the community meal, we wouldn't have any turkeys. Paul put it this way, if we were all eyeballs, we wouldn't be able to hear what anybody else was saying. If we were all exactly the same, it would cause problems. More problems than you think we already have by being different. Each one of us has a purpose and a reason, not just for being here, but being alive and in existence. I get asked, I just don't know what I'm here for. I don't know what my purpose is. And I'm thinking, have you met God? Because it is in God that we live and move and have our being. It's where we find our very life. It is the living water that Jesus talks about at the woman at the well. I will give you living water. Remember, she came to the well just wanting plain old water. Water that we use day in and day out, that we need every single day. We cannot live without it. And we can't even remember a time when we didn't go without it for a whole 24 hours. That's the kind of water she's looking for. But Jesus says, I'm going to give you living water. I'm going to give you living water. That's God's grace. You see, that's who you are. Not only are we marked by our baptism, and God flows in and of our life continuously, but we are marked and called to go out into the world to bring that living water into the world, because there are people who are dying of thirst, who are going to the well looking for plain old water, but they need something more. They need living water. That's living in you by the power of the Holy Spirit, the very presence of God that expresses itself in you through compassion and humility and joy of life and self-control in a world that seems like it's out of control? In gentleness in a world that can come across so very harsh? In a way that Christ expresses himself as the least, but to someone it is the absolute most. It's a game changer. It's a life changer. That's what we're called into. So this Thanksgiving, this week, your homework, there's a couple of things I want you to do. Every time you turn on the tap water, every time you water your plants, every time you give your pet a drink of water, every time you use it to cook, I want you to start thinking about that water and relating it to God's grace. And every time water touches your lips, every time you bathe, every time you wash your hands, every time you turn on your tap, every time you open a bottle of water, every single time you hear water, you taste water, you touch water, think about God's grace. Transform how you think about God's grace. Make it where you are so aware that God is all around you. And be grateful. And be so very grateful that it heightens your awareness to the point of such great joy and such great generosity. As we move into this week of Thanksgiving and we move into a season of Christmas, that we practice that gratefulness, that joy, and that generosity, that we notice the people around us. Notice the people that are in the fringes. Notice the people that are hurting, and not be afraid to enter in. Because God has called you. God has marked you. God is calling you out to live out your baptism, to live out your identity in Jesus. And as you heighten your awareness of heighten that God is ever so present with you, that you're drawn closer to God and it becomes easier and easier to be Christ to the world. That sounds so overwhelming, doesn't it? So very overwhelming. It is overwhelming. That's because you're not expected to do it alone. You're asked to do something. Jesus says, just have the faith of a mustard seed and act as small as a mustard seed can do some great, awesome things when it's planted. You're not being asked to jump and leap and exert all energy and all resources. You're being asked to come into community that's all been marked by the font, the very fount of God. To join in community with everyone else who has different gifts and graces than you, that when we come together with just the littlest bit of mustard seeds, it becomes something great and awesome and powerful as we work together. I encourage you to take the opportunities that are presented to you within this community at St. John's, whether it's participating in the community Thanksgiving meal. There is so much that's needed within that meal. You can find a place to serve this week. And I know we're busy. Believe me, I know. I've got a family coming. All of Mac's family is coming to my house. I know how overwhelming it is. But I'm still looking for ways that I can enter in and bring my mustard seed. Don't just say no. Just look for your mustard seed and bring it. this week and in the weeks to come. We have an angel tree out there. Please take a look at it. It's got little red tags all over it that you can bring your mustard seed. Find that little tag that cries out to you and for that little boy or little girl, whether it's clothes or a toy. Come back and help your pastor build Christmas trees at 5 o'clock. There's so much that we can come together. You know, I'd be so overwhelmed if I thought I had to build all those trees by myself. But I know that people are going to show up and we'll all bring our mustard seeds with us. Because that's how God works. God bringing us all together. You see, we're not by ourselves. We are never alone. We are never forsaken. And not only God is with us, but we're together. We're together in all of this. We are never alone. Praise be to God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.